Welcome to In Contact Lansing, a public service of Town Square Media. I'm Duran Martinez, and this week joined by Scott Dimstra, the Executive Director of the Capital Area District Libraries. That is plural. That is the big area. Scott's been with us before, and we're going to welcome Betsy Hull, the Head Librarian for the Capital Area District Libraries, Okemos Library. Betsy, welcome. You're a newbie.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Now, this is your first time here. How long have you been with Okemos? How long have you been the head librarian there?
I've been there just a little over 8 years now.
8 years. How do you like it?
It's a beautiful place to work. I appreciate the patrons and the great staff that we have there.
Now, when we think Capital Area, I think, you know, a lot of times I think of Lansing. You know, that has always been the core for the libraries in town. But you guys service Okemos, Hazlitt, East Lansing, or not East Lansing, right? They're their own world?
Correct.
Okay. So, but Okemos is part of it.
Yeah,
there.
We're part of 13 branches and a mobile library throughout Ingham County.
Now, you've got something coming up this month, June 8th through August 18th, month plus, and let me know a little bit about Libraries Rock.
Well, that's our summer reading program. Every year there's a theme for summer reading, and this year it's music, so it's Library Rocks. And yes, it officially begins June 8th and then goes through that August 8th, but patrons may register now. Registration's open through our website, cattle.org/summer, and you can go there and pre-register your kids or your family to participate in our summer reading program.
Now, music is a big thing with me. Obviously, we're in the rock and roll studio of Town Square Media.
And we rock, don't we?
And you rock. So you have the shirt on and you're rocking with us.
And I have a library rock with me. Can't see it, but this is part of the special program highlighted in Okemos, where we're actually hiding designated decorated library rocks throughout Meridian Township parks. For patrons to go and find, what do they call this,
geocaching.
Yeah. Well, we're geocaching library rocks. This one is painted green with a Spartan S, and it has a little detail of the program. And kids can find these, or parents can find these, anybody can find them, at Meridian Township Parks and bring them into the Okemos Library, and they get a special prize.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Now, I know a little bit about geocaching. I've never done it, but I know that it takes a little bit of skill in locating these things, and when you find it, bring it in, and you'll like, you know, be rewarded with gratitude.
Yeah, well, more than gratitude. There's a small incentive, a small prize that comes attached to it, but it's part of getting people out into the outdoors and to our parks and using those activities as part of the summer reading program.
Now, getting kids outside during the summer was never an issue with me in the growing up in the early 70s and whatnot, because we couldn't come inside. We were not allowed inside. Different times now, and that's why I think it's always been important. We've talked about this, Scott and I have talked about it a lot, about getting kids outdoors and exploring what this area has to offer. And I really think it's a great idea that you guys are hiding rocks.
Well, it wasn't my idea. It was Tom Schultz. He's our youth librarian, and he came up with the idea. And I will give you a little hint. If you visit Orlando Park, which is a park tucked away in Hazlitt, we have a story walk there. And so, of course, that's going to be one of the highlighted locations to find these library rocks. A part of summer reading is reading, of course, to your children, to yourself. But part of those activities that you can enjoy are getting out and being a part of different venues, museum programs in the local area. So while it is about reading, it's also about being active in other ways that help you to learn.
Now, I talked about kids of my age. Back then, we weren't allowed inside.
You're 100 years old.
I am. I'm actually half of that, plus a little bit. But, you know, getting outside was something we had to do. And I'll admit, I've never been one that could sit still long enough to read. I'm either, but television, that's a whole nother story. You know, I can sit and learn through TV. But reading has always been very important as well, and it's something we stress.
Well, I think there's different ways of learning, and this is one of the things we've incorporated with our summer reading program. And while we've partnered with Potter Park, that's one local venue, you can get free Potter Park admission passes coming to the library. You got to have a library card to get these passes. But that's one of the venues. And then we're also partnering with Michigan Activity Pass, which is a statewide program that features, 200 plus venues throughout the state of Michigan. Wow. And when you've got your library card, you can either get free admission or discounted admission to state parks, other museums, or art venues throughout the state. And that's because there's different ways of learning, and reading reinforces that learning, and the outdoor activity, these other activities also reinforce reading.
Now, we're talking with Betsy Hall, the head librarian of the Capitola District Libraries, Okemos Library. Scott Dimster is here, the executive director of the Capitola District Libraries. And Betsy, real quickly, Town Square Media is one of the sponsors, which also includes Michigan State University Federal Credit Union, WILX TV 10, WKAR, and the Lansing State Journal, and as Impression 5 with us. Now, there's a big prize. Grand prize winner is going to get to see what at the Wharton Center, a great venue?
School of Rock.
That will be a fine production, including music.
How much fun could that be?
Well, I'm thinking it's like going to a concert and not really know you're at a performance. So it's a little culture without the culture, the obvious, you know, but that's important. We're going to have a good time getting kids out for that. And I really think that's important, again, because with the downtime, the 3 months off, you know, you can forget a lot in that amount of time if you don't keep yourself active mentally and physically.
Well, that's part of the foundation for the summer reading program, is to keep that learning curve going for the kids throughout the summer. Repetition breeds recall breeds confidence, and get those kids reading, keeping them reading what they enjoy reading throughout the summer. So when they go back to school, They've maintained that reading level. It's also supposed to be fun. And I always encourage parents to let their children read what they enjoy, because That will help them develop the habit of reading, which is the important thing. It's getting that early start, that habit of reading, and enjoying what you read. So when you do have academic classwork, it's not such a drudgery. You've already got the habit down.
Absolutely. When it's less like work, it tends to be more fun.
Absolutely.
When it gets to be like work, I'm out. I'm gone.
Don't make it a lesson. That's part of the lecture I give to parents. Don't make it a lesson, because the kids will sniff that out. But if you can get them to enjoy what they're reading, doesn't matter what it is, that's what's important.
Absolutely. Now, Scott, you join us here, the Library of Things.
Yep.
Welcome back, buddy. It's
been a while. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me again.
It's been a couple of months since you've been here, mm-hmm. and a lot of things are going on. I mean, from your perspective, overseeing everything.
Sure.
Going on. What is the Library of Things that you have coming up?
Well, the Library of Things, it's a collection that we started, kind of a non-traditional collection for our adult cardholders. So Betsy really stressed the summer reading aspects for children. There's also adults can sign up for summer reading as well. But for adults, we have a collection called the Library of Things, which are non-traditional items. So when you think of libraries, you think of books, you think of DVDs, you think of music. The Library of Things are, they can be everyday items like a sewing machine, metal detectors. It can also be things that support lifelong learning. We just added musical instruments in there. So we talked about our summer reading theme being libraries rock. We really do rock, because now we have electric guitars that you can check out as well.
Nice.
Yeah, and we have a banjo in the collection. We're going to have some ukuleles. So we are truly going to rock once you're able to check out these items in the collection. There's also just several everyday items that you might like as well. There's something called the Color Muse Color Matcher, and it goes with an app on your phone. So if you've ever been out in a place and you look at a color on a wall and say, I would really like that color in my home.
Sure.
You can use this color matcher to see what color that is and then take it to a store and actually purchase that color. You'll
really
be able to find out what the color is. And it's actually, that's something that you you probably wouldn't want to buy, because it's probably a one-time use for that item. You can check it out at the library.
Now, being a former printing press operator, you just made somebody's life very difficult, because when we would have customers come in with these colors that almost didn't exist in our Pantone book.
Sure.
Oh, but my graphic designer says it is. I'm like, look, I'm not a human Mac, okay? I have to mix these things by hand. But actually, that's, you know, we see things out, and you know what? You'll never remember exactly what it is.
Oh, exactly.
I mean, you never have that kind of recall that you can match identical. And that's really cool that you can incorporate phones, which, I mean, my gosh, where have they come in the past 10 years alone?
Exactly. I mean, you look at you know, starting in 2008, that's when smartphones were introduced, and now you have this level of technology. And so we always look for things like that. We look at, like, how can we integrate things in our collection that work with those everyday devices like a smartphone, but also things that are going to help people out for kind of a one-time use. So we have color matchers, we have thermal leak detectors, we have everyday tools like that that you're probably not going to want to go out and purchase for a one-time use.
Right.
But you also have educational things like instruments. So if you're thinking about, I want to learn how to play guitar, but I don't want to throw out the money to actually see if I'm going to be any good at it, check one out from the library. You can see if you are actually a talent at it, and after you have it from the library for about 2 weeks, maybe you're going to go out and purchase one of your own or start lessons on your own just to kind of see what that comfort level is for you.
Now, I have to hand it to you. You may not know this, or you may. Some of the things that you guys are doing at the library are really following some popular trends that are out there right now. I mean, when you said the sewing machine, I do a lot with antiques and vintage items. I hunt for them, buy them, sell them a lot. Ukuleles are very popular right now. I've got old vintage ukulele books that are flying out when we do sales.
Sure.
Over the weekend, I had a young gentleman was so excited to get a typewriter stand. Here, I'm thinking he's going to repurpose it. He's like, no, it's for my typewriter. Which typewriters are very hot right now.
They are. Typewriters, we see records are very popular right now.
Very popular
So what we're seeing is people are actually purchasing vinyl. They just don't have a player to actually play them on. So those are the things that we look at. We look at kind of what is growing in popular culture and how can we add items to this collection that are going to reflect that for people.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, you have brought up everything that I've seen trending so far.
Sure.
And it just amazes me that, you know, the things that we've thrown in the closet, typewriters, record players, I just have this whole new curiosity now.
Yeah, don't throw them out. They might be used again. Yeah. So
don't throw out the vinyl. Jeez, call me. but it's really funny when you see young people get excited and they know what it is.
Oh, exactly.
Firsthand, they know what it is, and then they go and use that particular item, like the typewriter stand. I mean, Betsy, you even made a face about the typewriter stand. Like, wow, really? Yeah, and they're popping up, and they're unfortunately popping up with a price too.
Yeah, they are.
But you know, and we did, I think the last time we talked about this, vinyl for the first time in I don't know how many years has exceeded digital downloads and CDs because of the popularity right now. And it is just great because it's, I mean, the hunt for classic vinyl is always on, and you can find it, and you know, it's out there. And you really, what I really like is when somebody really doesn't know their music and they skip over the good stuff.
Sure.
But what else is going on? I mean, I'm the banjo, it just, you know, I think I'm kind of at a loss for that because I look at those four or five strings on a banjo and watch somebody's hands fly across those strings. It just, it's amazing how fast they can go on, but you never know until you try.
Oh, exactly. And that's what we want the collection to be. So maybe you see someone play the banjo and you're like, maybe I'd like to learn that instrument. I don't know how hard it is. What you can do is you can go to the library, check it out for 2 weeks, see how comfortable you are with it. And then maybe after that, you're going to feel comfortable with it, take lessons, or you're going to realize, oh, the banjo was not for me. I'm going to try a different instrument.
They sound like a cat and a piano.
Yeah.
Now, how are you guys acquiring these instruments? Is it through your funding that you have, that you set aside? I mean,
correct. Yeah. So there, we have a materials budget for that. And what we've done is we've dedicated a certain part of that towards our Library of Things collection. And we have staff that go in and they evaluate things. So they see whether these items fit within our mission, which is empowering our diverse communities to learn, imagine, and connect. So what's helping with that creativity? What's helping with that everyday need that people would have? And if it fits in with that, we'll add it in there. But we also look for popular trends. So you mentioned popular trends like ukuleles. And we look at that, and then we're going to add it to the collection if we see that there's going to be a demand for these items.
Yeah, and it shocks me, again, mm-hmm. to see these things popping up. And, you know, they've all passed me by, and I just kind of sure. go, why? But
yeah,
it is. Everything old is new again, and that's, you know, a great end of things. Don't go looking for the 59 Les Paul, okay? It's not going to be at the library for you to check out.
No, we will not have
shred,
that, yeah.
Okay? It's the...
Ours are things that we can afford.
Right,
in the
right, right.
So.
So anybody looking to score a vintage deal just to play for a little while, it's not at the library.
No.
Now, Betsy, back to you and the Michigan Activity Pass for Potter Park Zoo. We touched on it a little bit. But Potter Park has been around the city for a very long time, and we've really seen a big transformation of the park, I would say, in the past 30 years. From where it was.
It's because they have dedicated funding now.
Well, yeah, that, I mean, it helps. But, I mean, there's been some other changes as well. I mean, it's not just bars on animals anymore. It's more interactive for people to see and more habitat friendly. And for you guys to get people involved with that. I mean, it's right under our noses. How many times do we drive by and you know, we pay attention to the flooding, but we don't pay attention to the zoo.
Well, that's part of, I think, our mission is overall to get involved with our community and finding partners that have similar missions. It's an educational institution, same as we are. They're natural. They're right next door to us. From anywhere in our library district, it's just a few miles, a short drive to Lansing. That's part of also Michigan Activity Pass. If you're interested in that, you can go online to MichiganActivityPassInfo.org, and I recommend you do that. You can do that directly from home, or you can come into the library for help. But once you get to their website, it's going to ask you what library you're associated with. Somewhere down the line, it's going to ask you for your library card number. But it's also going to give you an idea. Do you want to go to the Upper Peninsula, or are you interested in the Lower Peninsula? Are you interested in the Upper Mitten or the Lower Mitten? And it's going to let you designate how far do you want to drive. You want to drive 10 miles from your home location? You want to drive 50 miles? So you can put in those specifics, and then it's going to populate you a list of where you can go, and then you can decide how you'd like to enjoy your day. I recommend you do this in advance, because there are some limitations to these passes.
Sure.
In terms of how many passes each venue issues per day, something like that, and what the discount is. But you can do this from home with your library card. You don't have to come into the library, but if you are if you need help, come in, and we'll certainly be able to help you navigate the Michigan Activity Pass. Because, like I said, there's about 200 plus venues throughout the state.
Right.
That you're eligible to go to.
You know, and I look on here, I was just in the UP over the weekend, which a lot of people I've talked to in my life, we've never been to the bridge. It's almost unthinkable that, you know, people have never been to the bridge or even to the UP up in where the Shipwreck Museum is. I mean, there's so much to see up there that you don't see in the lower. I mean, Superior is just an amazing sight for a lake. And to have that, the Shipwreck Museum on the map pass is incredible. I mean, that's, you know, it's really kind of getting outside your comfort zone of home.
Well, that's, you know, one of the venues is the Shipwreck
sure.
Museum up in Paradise. But before I was coming here, I was just looking, what venues within an hour's drive, 50 miles from Okemos, are available through the Michigan Activity Pass? And there were 55-plus venues that people can enjoy within an hour's drive. And again, all you need is your library card to do that.
I mean, the Michigan Science Center, the Legoland Discovery Center in Auburn Hills. Auburn Hills is not far away either. I mean, it's like a right turn, and then you're going to
and then you're there. Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's the beautiful thing about Michigan with our Upper Peninsula, too, is it's a straight drive. You can't get lost on the way there, and you cannot get lost when you go
I've
to the
ship. I've been lost getting to the Upper Peninsula.
How? You got off the road. You got off the main road.
You know, I took that right turn, and I just, you know, I got lost getting to the Upper Peninsula.
And it's funny, going to Whitefish Point, I remember going one time, and where is it at? Next thing, the road literally ends at the Shipwreck Museum. Found it, you know.
There you go.
And it's incredible to see, because people don't realize. I have a friend from Ireland that has never seen the Great Lakes. We were trying to get him there, but it was a really bad day one day. And but you can't fathom how big a lake can be until you've seen Michigan or Superior firsthand. And, you know, having seen the Atlantic and the Pacific, to see these, it's very the same. You know, for as long as you can see, it's water. And it's just, and it's amazing. And so close to another country, too, with Canada. You know, getting out and exploring Michigan with the map pass or with any of the activities throughout the course of the summer. I mean, it's there to see.
I use the pass to go to state parks. And usually, you know, you have to do this a little bit in advance because, you know, this is a busy time of year for the state parks. But I like to go to Lake Michigan. And using the activity pass, I get free entrance to Holland State Park or any of the parks up and down the Lake Michigan coast. It's a great way to take the family for a day and, you know, use both resources, you know, the state parks, your library card, and Lake Michigan.
Yeah, absolutely. And Michigan DNR will also be having a triple play weekend. I think it's 9th and 10th or 8th and 9th of June, where out of state, in state, you'll be able to fish inside the state parks for free, gain access, and enjoy the ORV trails as well. So that's going to be very big for the state.
I'm not going to tell my husband that.
I got nothing. You're not listening to the show right now. Betsy's not on with us.
We're not going to another fishing site.
But now, one of the things that's very important that we talked about, I mean, we set up all the great things about the library, the Capital Lake District Libraries, because there are so many around the area that you can access, literally 15 minutes from any of them if you're in Lansing. But it all has to get funded, Scott, and this is, you know, this is where we put the hard sell on, talking about the millage coming up, and it's important to keep these libraries open.
It is, and a lot of people don't necessarily realize how the library is funded except for when we do our millage campaign. So we're funded by tax dollars, and so when people pay their property taxes, that money goes towards the library. And our millage rate is 1.56 mils. It has expired, so we're going for a renewal on the August 7th ballot. And it's, I said it was a renewal. We've had the same rate since 2006.
Okay.
So we've been able to provide fantastic service, add services like our Library of Things, have fantastic summer reading programs like Betsy talked about, all while being good stewards of tax dollars.
Sure.
We take that very seriously. The programs and services that we offer, we make sure that we fit into the community. We try to be cutting edge, but we also look to see what do our people in the community want. And so for us, that's why we look at when we're developing our millage, what can we live with? And that is a renewal. And so again, it's on the August 7th ballot, and it's a renewal of our 1.56 mils. It's for a term of 4 years. And the reason we do that is we'll go out for 4 years. And at the end of 4 years, again, we'll go back to the voters and see whether they think we're doing a good job or not.
And I think it's a win-win overall. Whether you use the Capillary District Libraries or you don't, mm-hmm. It's really a win-win for all involved because it's always there anytime you need it.
Sure.
And you are constantly growing, constantly changing things, like you said, that fit the trends, mm-hmm. which to me is important because a lot of people, you know, they don't follow what we follow as closely.
Sure.
You know, but there may come a time that they need that and they yep. don't really know. And the Capillary District Libraries are right there.
Yep. And that's the value that we want to show to the community. So if you're a regular user, we love that. If you only use us some of the time, we love that as well. And if you don't use us, hopefully you see us as a value to the community. So to the community overall, that we are adding value, whether it's literacy education, whether it's fun entertainment like checking out a electric guitar, or whether it's us working with other community organizations like Potter Park Zoo, our area municipalities, to offer services to the community. So hopefully, whether a user or a non-user, you see us as adding value to the community.
Absolutely. And it's a non-political issue all the mm-hmm. way around. This is, you know, I try and stay very clear of anything political yep. on this show because as a, you know, public service show, that's not what this is about. But because I believe the Capillary District Libraries are so important and beneficial to everyone in the community, that this millage is important and it should be looked at very closely. And you guys know, I mean, this is essentially your bread and butter.
It is.
To keep things open.
It is. And so it is essential. It is 90% of our funding. We get other funding. There are some federal and state dollars that we do get. But again, we would not be able to have our doors open without this operating millage. And it goes to fund things like our collection. So like our books,
sure.
Our digital items, our Library of Things item. It pays for staff. And it pays for the technology that we have as well within our libraries, whether it's Wi-Fi access or public computers.
Now, one thing that I've really been into since, you know, I've been buying and selling since I was about 10 years old.
So, sure.
You know, things that are older and vintage have always been very important to me. But what I'm finding also, since I've made a lot of friends in the Historical Society of Greater Lansing, is I'm coming across a lot of things that are not in archives anywhere, and now I know I can take these things to the Capillary District Library, have them scanned in, have them looked at, and they'll be there for everybody to see.
Exactly.
You know, I recently came across some old John Bean from the John Bean building,
uh-huh.
when John Bean was an actual company building things in Lansing, from their first company newsletter on into some other things and some historic photos and everything else. And I'm seeing the significance to the Historical Society. So then I know that there's going to be other people that are looking for the same things. And you guys will have access to that to scan and do with what you need to.
We do in our local history department for providing historical resource for this area is instrumental. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's another avenue that we have in the area that we provide a service for this area, looking backwards for going forward. And
sure.
We have a very broad reach. So we talked about a lot of the things that we do, and it can range from those one-time uses to just providing an archive for the area. And again, we constantly evaluate what we do, and we want to show that we are of value to the community, whether you use us or whether you don't use us, but you see us as a valuable resource.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you what, I'm always glad to talk to you guys. Scott Dimster is joining us. Betsy Hull is joining us. Betsy, you made it through the show. I mean,
thank you very much.
You know, your inaugural
my debut
spot.
On the radio. Yes, sir.
Your debut.
I can stop sweating now.
Yeah, see, and it's over. I always tell everybody that, you know, when you tell them it's like 28 and a half minutes of your life you're never going to get back.
Well,
and they're oh my gosh, it's so long, but look, it's almost over.
Oh, it's just a conversation.
It is. It's just a conversation. But you know what? You guys have all the answers to the things I need, and I really appreciate you joining us. And again, when you're looking at that millage coming up August 7th to put it on the ballot, absolutely. In my opinion, you guys are definitely worth it, because you provide such a great service to the community.
That's because libraries rock.
They do. Libraries rock. And we will end it on that. A great note. Make sure you get out. Find those rocks. Find Betsy. Find Scott. CADL.org. The Capital Area District Library is joining us here once again. And I know we'll be talking to you guys very soon here on In Contact Lansing, a public service of Town Square Media.